A reading from Luke chapter 1. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week we heard and we sang the Magnificat, the beautiful proclamation of Mary as our souls magnify the Lord with her, rejoicing in the Lord who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And today we look at the Benedictus. And like the Magnificat, this biblical canticle has a long history of use in the prayer offices of the church. At first, this was another canticle used at the office of Vespers. And then the Magnificat became the primary canticle in that office, and the Benedictus was used in the morning service and became accustomed then to that, especially as we see this imagery of sun and light and those things that are associated with the morning. Now, structurally, it can be divided into two parts. The first part of this biblical canticle reflects the Jewish form of prayer known as a berakah, the biblical word for blessing. And it proclaims the promises of God to accomplish salvation. The prophets spoke of this, and all the scriptures promised that God would come to his people, that he would save them, that he would come from the line of David, that he would be in their midst and redeem them. Now, what differs from the traditional Jewish prayer is there's no request to God in this. The Benedictus is just bursting with praise, the praise of God proclaiming his promises to his people. These canticles show us a biblical understanding of praise, of proclaiming what God has done, what God does, just as these things have been promised. And the second part of the Benedictus preaches about John the Baptist, who is the infant son of the priest Zechariah, 8 days old to be exact in our text. John was spoken of by the angel to Zechariah as he served in the temple, and Zechariah was struck mute as he doubted this could happen, as he and his wife Elizabeth were old and unable to have children. Yet through the union of Zechariah and Elizabeth, God did give them a son. The reading today then picks up with the birth of John and what happened next. St. Luke recorded for us, "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, 'No, he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'None of your relatives is called by this name.' And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, 'His name is John.' And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, 'What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him.'" So John is brought to be circumcised, and he's given this name. And he's given this name of John, just as the angel had told him to do. And every time I hear this text, I can relate to this, right? We had all these girls before Boyd was born, and we, for a while, would not tell people what we were going to name our kids. But they knew if we had a boy, he was going to be named Boyd. They just knew that. So here then they have this boy, and they think, what, Zechariah, one of your family? John, where does this come from? But the angel had told them. Gabriel said, name him John. So the words of the Benedictus then follow this circumcision and naming of this forerunner of Christ. And the proud father praises God and proclaims what his son was to do as God's messenger. And so in Zechariah, we see, like Mary last week, an example for you as you go through this world as a child of God. Zechariah learned firsthand what his son John would later say: Jesus must increase, and he, Zechariah, must decrease. Because at first, Zechariah thought he knew better than the word of God when it was spoken to him while he was serving in the temple. He thought with his own experience, with his own reason, his own wisdom, it was possible for he and his wife to conceive and have a child. God, though, through the angel Gabriel, said otherwise. To be a baptized child of God is to see yourself through the promises of God that he has made to you. You know that the Lord has created you, that he's placed you into this world, that you belong to him. Your Lord has redeemed you, and your purpose in this life is to be his child and live forever. So you think about that each and every day when you get up in the morning, and what this means, who you are, what your name is, and the name that you bear. Your baptismal identity defines who you are in this life and even into eternity. So an old woman miraculously was enabled to be John's mother, and Christ was born of the Virgin by the Holy Spirit. And according to God's command, as foretold by the prophets, the forerunner of Christ, John, came into this world as the pardoned one, which is what John is a derivative of. And Jesus is the Savior, the bringer of grace, as his name indicates. Christ blots out all guilt and punishment. He adorns your hearts with the gifts of the Spirit. And faith looks outside of yourself and clings to the one who covers you with his righteousness, who makes you his own, who calls you by name. At the birth of John, the whole region was rocked with joy. At the birth of Christ, the angels rejoiced, and the whole world should shout and be filled with joy, wonder, and praise to God. So when you are tempted to doubt, who are you to run? You are to run back to those baptismal waters and see who God has made you to be. I am baptized into Christ. When your sin tempts you to think that you have no worth or place before the throne of God, boldly confess, I am baptized into Christ. Bask in the forgiveness, life, and salvation you have been given. Bask in whose name you bear, the name of the Holy Trinity. See who you are and what purpose you have. It's to live as a forgiven child of God. The end of the meaning of the second article of the Creed confesses this well as you trust in Christ, as you trust in Christ who is your Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. And likewise with Zechariah, proclaim John the Baptist had a purpose, and trust in the one for whom John prepared the way. John's purpose was not to exalt himself. He was to decrease so as another would increase and be exalted. At the end of the Benedictus, John's father, Zechariah said, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." John's purpose was an instrument in the greater purpose in pointing to your redemption in Christ. So there's great meaning in all of this tonight as you behold your Lord, as you hear his word. Be comforted by the Lord and his work for you. Light has been given to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. For Jesus is the light of the world. The darkness has not overcome him. And all who believe in him will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. All that has been promised has been accomplished. Everything your Lord has done is for you. Rejoice then with John that your purpose and your life are hidden and found in Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Your Lord Jesus is the crucified and risen Lord from the dead. So blessed be the Lord who has done all these things well, who opens your mouth to proclaim, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." Zechariah's confession is your confession. And blessed be the Lord who has done this and all things well. Amen.